This morning's reading is from the book of John in the New Testament. We'll be reading from chapter 6, from verse 25 to 59. So it's John chapter 6, verse 25 to 59, and you'll find it on page 1070 in the Church Bibles. Jesus, the bread of life. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from the heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me and still do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day." At this, the Jews there began to grumble about him, because he said, "I am the bread that came down from the heaven." They said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he say, 'I came down from heaven'?" "Stop grumbling among yourselves," Jesus answered. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'They will all be taught by God.' Everyone has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat? And Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is the real food, and my blood is the real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died, but whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." He said this while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. This is the word of the Lord.
Should we pray? as we spend some time in the Bible. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Bible, that you've given it to us so that we can learn about Jesus. Thank you that it has everything that we need to know about him and about how to receive salvation from him. Pray you'd help us to understand it and to take it away in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I wonder what satisfies you. We're 4 days on from Christmas, and I hope yours was full of good food, quality family time, and hopefully some great gifts as well. But are you feeling satisfied? Or perhaps as we approach the new year in a couple of days, how are you feeling about your 2024? As you look on back on the New Year's resolutions you might have made, has sticking to them, if you did manage to, has that made you more satisfied this year? I guess the thing that we all know is that however many roasties you ate on Christmas Day, however full you were feeling, a few hours later, you were ready for more food, I guess. We know that the presents that we received, however good, won't stop us from wanting more. That whatever achievements we've completed this year, there will always be something else to do, someone better than us to compete with. So where do we find true satisfaction? Well, as John mentioned, for the next 3 weeks, we're asking, who is this baby? We've spent the last week of Christmas celebrating the birth of Jesus. But who did he grow up to be that he had such an impact and continues to have such an impact 2,000 years later? And to answer this question, who is this baby? We're going to be looking at three sections of this book of John in the Bible. John was one of the 12 disciples of Jesus, his closest friends. And a while after Jesus died, he wrote an account of Jesus' life. At the end of it, he tells us why he wrote it, which will help us understand what he's saying as we look closer. You might want to turn to it. It's page 1090, John chapter 20. And verse 30. So page 1090, and then the little number 30 near the top of the page. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. John focuses his book on the signs that Jesus performed, the signs that show who Jesus is. And John also includes seven statements or claims that Jesus makes about himself, three of which we're going to look at in this series. They're known as the I am statements, claims that Jesus makes about himself. And John tells us that he wrote all of this down so that we can know who Jesus is and receive the life that he offers. Now, more on that in a bit. We're going to look at a bit closer at the verses that were read to us, which were back on page 1070, 1070, if you want to keep a finger there. And as we look at these verses, we're going to see three things. We're going to see the problem, food that spoils. We're going to see the offer that Jesus makes, the bread of life. And we're going to see the answer. Come and believe. So first, the problem. Food that spoils. At this point in John's Gospel, Jesus has gained a reputation and a following as he's been going around Israel, teaching and healing people. In fact, he's got so much of a following that even when he tries to go and get some peace and quiet, the crowds go looking for him. But at the start of this section, Jesus tells them that they are looking for him for the wrong reason. Have a look at verse 26 and near the bottom of that page. Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you." See, the crowds have got the wrong idea of who Jesus is. The day before, more than 5,000 of them had been fed by Jesus from just 5 loaves and 2 fish. And now they want more. They want to fill their stomachs with free food. Who wouldn't? But all they are concerned with is the material stuff that's in front of them. They're missing the signs of what those things are supposed to point to. See, as Jesus did see the hungry people in front of them and want to help them and gave them food to eat, what he did, the feeding, was supposed to be a sign that Jesus is the God who provides everything we need. For Jesus, it would have provoked strong memories of what happened hundreds of years ago when Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt and into the desert. They had no food, but they were given bread, manna, by God from heaven to sustain them. And now, with Jesus there, a hungry people have been miraculously provided with food. And it's actually, we're told, at exactly the same time of year as that first feeding in the desert. So the parallels are clear if you look back. But the people don't see the real meaning. They're looking for Jesus just to give them more food. But the problem is that they will get hungry again. Food spoils, it goes off, it goes moldy. The free food might be good for now, but if that's all they're looking for, they're not going to be satisfied. There were some of them that did see this as a sign, we're told, but misinterpreted what it was pointing to. John says in verse 15 that they, the crowds, intended to come and make Jesus king by force. See, they decided that Jesus was their promised saviour king, but they thought that meant he would conquer their Roman oppressors and free the country politically. But Jesus says that's not who he is. That's not why he's come. See, a military victory wouldn't satisfy either. Not properly. There would be more enemies in the future, more problems that arose. See, the crowds are looking towards things that spoil, things that end up leaving you wanting more rather than providing what you need. These are both dangers to watch out for as we look at Jesus, as we investigate who is this baby. To limit him to just a provider of things we want, to say, "I'll follow you if you give me that job that I really want." Or to make him into what we need to achieve our own ends, to see him just as a good teacher, an example perhaps, someone to admire, but not to worship and bow down to. But if that's who we see Jesus as, we still won't get satisfaction. There will always be a hunger inside us, something more that we want. And so Jesus says that he offers something much, much better. So second, we see the offer, the bread of life. Have a look down at verse 27 again. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. Jesus says he's offering something that lasts. Food which endures to eternal life, he says. Something which doesn't spoil, which doesn't fade, but fully provides. Something only he can give. The crowds are still confused. What is it? What is this food that endures? And so after a little while, Jesus explains more. If we skip to verse 35. Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." We've seen that the crowds have come to Jesus because they're searching for something. They're missing something from their lives, and they hope Jesus can provide it. Healing, food, military leadership. Jesus is offering something far greater. He's offering life that fully satisfies, that never leaves you feeling empty. This is life that never says, "If only I had more," or "If I just had that thing." No loneliness, boredom, frustration. No hunger or thirst. It's life where every need is provided for. And where is that life? Jesus says that he himself is that life. That he is the source of this full satisfaction. Now, this isn't to say that Christians will never go hungry or thirsty physically again, or that we don't need to work to earn a living and buy bread. That's still important. What Jesus is offering is much bigger than that. It's a promise of a life in the future where all needs are met, not just physical ones. But it's also a life, an offer of life now, free from having to search for meaning, free, as we'll see in a moment, from the fear of death, free from the emptiness of constantly searching for more. That's what Jesus offers as he claims to be the bread of life. Full, satisfying, perfect life. That leaves just one question. How to get it? How to receive this offer? Which brings us to the third point, the answer. Come and believe. Because Jesus does tell us who can receive this light. It's anyone who comes and believes. Verse 35 again. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Do you see there are no limits, no prerequisites? You don't have to be a certain type of person to have done or not done certain things, to have come from a certain background or have a certain history. You don't have to do anything, but you do have to come and believe. Both parts of that are important. The crowds here give us examples of people who come to Jesus, but they don't believe. They come for food, not for who Jesus is. And so they're left searching for what they think will satisfy. John records them grumbling that Jesus can't possibly be what he claims. He's just Mary and Joseph's boy from down the road. He can't be everything that he says he is. And earlier they asked Jesus what they had to do to get the food that endures to eternal life. Expecting, I'm guessing, for him to say something like, "Keep the commandments, worship God," something like that. But in verse 29, Jesus answers, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." If you're not a Christian, you're just looking in, this might seem like a huge step at this point. To believe in someone that you've never met, who claims such huge and perhaps seemingly impossible things. Well, remember what John said about this, his book? These signs are written that you may believe. See, the Bible never asks us to just trust blindly, without evidence. If a stranger came up to you in the street and said that they are God and you had to follow them, you'd be right to be skeptical, I think. But if that person started performing miracles, if their life matched up with promises from hundreds of years ago, if their life completely matched up with their words, if they never did any wrong, if they did everything they said they would, perhaps they'd be worth investigating. John and the rest of the Bible gives eyewitness testimony of exactly that. Their contemporaries at the time, as they wrote, had plenty of opportunity to point out any place that they were inaccurate. But no one disputed that Jesus walked on water, healed the sick, fed the 5,000. All they argued about was what it meant. Jesus' claim is that it means he is the God who provides. And that all you need to receive this life is to come and believe. If you do, Jesus gives a wonderful assurance. Have a look at verse 37. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given to me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. The promise is that anyone who does come to Jesus and believe will never be let down, will never be sent away, will never be separated from him. That not even death will take you away from this bread of life. Because Jesus will raise you to eternal life. Again, this is an extraordinary claim, isn't it? But it's not without evidence. Jesus' own resurrection is the demonstration that he does have power over death, and he can make this promise and keep it. We won't go further into that now, but if you've not investigated the resurrection for yourself, it is the key thing to look at to decide how to explain and whether to trust Jesus. So we've seen that Jesus offers himself as the bread of life, a provision of all we need, and fully satisfying life that doesn't spoil. So if you have already come to Jesus and believe in him, I hope this gives confidence. When life does feel unsatisfying, as it often does in the day-to-day toil of all that we do, when all that we work towards seems to be spoiling, Jesus promises to never let us go. We already have all that we need, all that we were looking for, the bread of life, so that we hunger no more. But if you are here and you're still investigating, maybe if you come off the back of our Christmas services and you are asking, who is this baby? Why should I take notice of him? First of all, do come back for the next 2 weeks as we look at more of these I am statements and Jesus explains more of who he is. Perhaps read more of John's account yourself and investigate the claims that he makes It's freely available on the internet, or I'm sure we can find copies here. And perhaps at this time of New Year, as we reflect back on the past year, as we look forward to the next one, why not take a chance to evaluate at your life? Are you satisfied? Is there anything that could really satisfy forever? Could it be Jesus? Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. Will you come and believe?" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that he is the bread of life, that all who come to him will never go hungry, that all who believe in him will never be thirsty. We pray you would help us to see who Jesus truly is, to understand his claims and to believe them, and help us to have confidence that he will never let us go. In Jesus' name, amen.